back to another episode of What More Can I Say, a Skater Boy Fancast. I'm Sopper Coach S.
I'm May from the podcast, and is this the one that gets us canceled?
I hope not. I think everyone needs to go easy on me because I have COVID. And I'm recording this podcast with COVID. And I don't really have brain fog, honestly. Like, at this point, my symptoms are there's very few left, and the ones that left are pretty mild, but I'm going to blame it on COVID brain.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense because I'm doing the same thing. I'm 38 weeks and 3 days pregnant, and I don't have brain fog either.
Oh my God, you're having a baby next week. Oh my God, our podcast is over. And we're ending on this episode.
That, again, it's a cancelable offense. I think we have one more in the tank.
I can't. I was literally just editing where your doctors were like, oh, you're going to be early. Oh, never mind. No, you're not. Oh, yeah, you're probably going to be early.
Yeah, I know. It's been a real journey. But now they're like, well, because here's the thing, right? The hospital that I'm delivering at, if you want to get induced, they won't induce you until you're a week overdue. So if I was a week overdue, I would need to wait. Like, anywhere else will induce you at 39 weeks, which I'm about to hit.
Why do they... So you have to carry a child for 41 weeks before they'll be like, fine, I guess we'll take it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's their thing. That seems their fucked thing. Up. So, here we are. Might have an extra week. I feel fine, so it's all good.
I don't think whether or not you feel fine has any bearing on when the baby decides to come out of you.
Yes, that's true. But I would be mad about the 41-week policy if I felt terrible.
Oh, right.
You know,
right,
like, yes. Then I might consider a different hospital. But right now I'm like...
Right, I was going to say. You could just pick someone else.
Yeah.
Okay. So today, the reason May said this is a cancelable episode, well, actually, I'm not exactly sure why she said that, but I can tell you guys what we're going to talk about today, mm-hmm. And that is the new Avril Lavigne song, really, it's not, it's a new all-time low song featuring Avril Lavigne called Fake as Hell, is that right? That's what it's called?
Yes. That is what it's okay. called, yeah.
May, do you want to, do you want us to just start, and if we get cancelable, you'll tell us then, or do you want to explain at the top?
I mean, I feel like we should just give a little note at the top, just to say that if we're going to discuss all-time low, there have right. been in the past, about a year ago, I think, some allegations specifically
was it that
related
recent?
To Jack. Yeah. About inappropriate behavior with minor fans. It looks like a lot of those things turned out to be... things that people made up on Twitter. We are not sort of going to endorse a very strong opinion on this podcast one way or the other, because obviously if those things turned out to be true, we would stand with the victims. It sounds to us like a lot of that stuff was made up. Also, All Time Low said that they were going to bring a defamation suit against the people who circulated those tweets, posted those initial allegations. Which to me tells me that there is some credibility behind their defense, because I don't think that you would want the absolute shit show that would be discovery in a case that is this salacious if you thought there was a chance that these allegations were true. So, you know, you're obviously free to draw your own conclusions. We're not going to come out and like make a definitive comment, but I think it's important to just address that. Because we're talking about this band, I still feel totally comfortable listening to them, but it's up to you what your stance is.
Yeah, okay, so.
Also, worth noting, obviously this doesn't go to credibility one way or the other, but these were things that, accusations that were made anonymously, and there was never any sort of like connection to a person that went along with these, and part of what All Time Low said they were interested in doing was determining who it was that was making the allegations, which does seem like an important thing for them to know if they're gonna, you know, defend themselves in any way or anything like that. This is not to say that if you come forward anonymously about something that has happened to you that it makes your credibility any less. But it's interesting. It's worth noting.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because it's hard to be like, oh, I definitely didn't do anything wrong, and I don't even know who's saying this, because there's such a chance that they could find out who it is, and then that could jog something in the person's memory and be like, right. Oh, yeah, I did do something wrong.
I really hope that's not the case, but basically,
I really hope that's not the case.
Yeah, I'm comfortable continuing to listen to All Time Low, given the research that I've done on this and the impression that I have of these accusations, which have been, you know, this basically went away, you know, which again doesn't necessarily All Time Low is certainly in a position of power here, and they can do a lot to silence someone, but it's the impression I get is that that isn't what happened here.
Yeah, I also, frankly, I listen to people on Spotify, and, like, Spotify pays people nothing. So I'm like, you're not really getting anything out of me. I don't really listen to All Time Low, if we're being honest with ourselves. I think I listen to that one song because it comes up on, like, Spotify-made playlists for me. Waitlist, that's All Time Low, right?
Yeah.
I listen to that just because it comes up, but, like, frankly, I don't really listen to them.
Yeah.
But if you choose not to listen to them because of these allegations, we totally understand. Today, we're going to talk about Avril Lavigne.
Yeah.
And a song that she did with All Time Low. So really, if you have a problem with All Time Low, take it out with Avril Lavigne. Don't yell at us.
Yeah, we didn't collaborate with All Time Low.
We did not collaborate with All Time Low. We do stand with victims. We just don't actually know that there is a victim here to stand with. But if there is one, we'll stand with them.
Yeah. And also it's like, I think that it's important to approach these things like saying it's fair to hope that there isn't a victim. I don't want anything bad to have happened to anyone here. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's good if there's not a victim. It's good if this didn't happen because this is terrible. So
here we are. Right. That's our hope. Our hope is that, right. That's the thing. The thing I think with like all of the, anytime there's allegations against someone is like, you want it to be true on some level because you don't want someone to be, like, falsely accusing someone of rape because that, like, diminishes the whole thing and, like, you... But on the flip side, you're like, well, I would really hope that this wasn't a thing that happened in society. Mm-hmm. It is. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we believe these people, but it would be so cool if this wasn't a problem.
It would really be nice. It would really be nice. Anyway, that's our statement right at the top. I think it's important to address just because this band is connected with these accusations. So in the interest of everyone who's listening, if you know that coming in, there's our stance.
Yes.
But do your own research. What do we know? We're just clowns online.
Change my Instagram bio from Skater Boy Fangirl to a clown online.
Love.
Or just add it, I guess. A goddamn delight, Skater Boy Fangirl, clown online. So let's just get into a lyric read. So the song came out September 15th. There's one person viewing the lyrics right now. I assume that's me.
Well, I'm viewing the lyrics too. Are you on Genius?
Yeah, I'm on Genius. Okay, so I guess it's not counting me. It's just counting your viewing the lyrics.
Yeah, with me it also says one viewer.
Good. Okay, so the intro is Alex Gaskarth the only singer in All Time Low?
Yeah. I mean, I think others do backing vocals, but he's the main.
Okay. So he, All Time Low starts out with, I know it's better if we both say so long and thanks for the memories. I'd like to say that it's been real, but it's been fake as hell.
Can I just say sick Fall Out Boy reference?
Yeah, I was going to say. So I click on the Genius annotation, assuming that it's going to tell me this is a reference to Fall Out Boy's Thanks for the Memories.
No, it's not. Apparently, according to this person.
It just says breaking up. And then there's four comments, which then says, could be a possible reference to pop punk contemporaries Fall Out Boy and their song Thanks for the Memories. Someone else says, apart from the Fall Out Boy reference, there's likely to be another reference to another song, namely Helena by My Chemical Romance.
Helena.
Sure. Yet another alternative rock slash pop punk contemporary where the chorus contains the line so long and good night.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's the same thing we're referencing here.
And also, I don't really think of Fall Out Boy and My Chemical Romance as being in the same genre.
I guess technically My Chemical Romance is like emo music. And Fall Out Boy and All Time Low are pop punk music. But I also, like, Spotify will give me My Chemical Romance sometimes.
Yeah, they definitely have a huge amount of overlap, especially in the fan base and that kind of thing. But the music sounds quite different to me. I love both of them, so. Not a slight to either band.
And then someone else says, thanks for the memories. And someone says this, line is probably a reference to other pop punk songs, such as, how did you say it was? Helena?
Helena. Yep.
By My Chemical Romance that has So Long on the chorus, and Thanks for the Memories by Fall Out Boy. I guess, does Fall Out Boy not say So Long in that song? They don't, right? Thanks for the memories, even though we're so great, it tastes like you, only sweeter. One more time. Yeah, no, it's just One Night, One More Time, Thanks for the Memories. That's the line. Yeah, okay, so maybe it is a little bit of a My Chemical Romance reference.
For some reason, I can't picture, this is just my own brain, but I just can't picture All Time Low listening to My Chemical Romance. That's weird to me for some reason.
I can see it.
I'm sure they have. Just feels weird.
You know what I actually think this might be the So Long might be a reference to? The So Sound of Music.
For all the booze. Oh!
No. No. So Long Farewell. A fetus saying goodnight.
You're right.
I'm pretty sure that's what the reference is. Okay, so I'm gonna say, frankly, oh no, I guess that was just the intro. I don't necessarily love putting the chorus as the intro of a song.
Yeah.
I want us to build.
I don't disagree with you. All Time Low has done it a couple times. I think they like doing a quiet version of the chorus, and then they come in and then they go back to the chorus, but stronger this time. They've done it on a few songs.
And then we get into verse one. You caught me lying in my face again. You got me hanging by a thread again. Feel like a kite in a hurricane, so cut the string and let me fly away.
Now, that's a weird line. I caught you lying in... Oh, you said you caught me lying in my face again.
Oh, did I fuck it up?
Yes.
There's a deadly virus and sitting in my brain and it's making me read things wrong.
No, I was so genuinely confused. And then I read it and I was like, wait, that did make sense. And then I realized you had said it differently.
I caught you lying in my face again. You got me hanging by a thread again. Feel like a kite in a hurricane, so cut the string and let me fly away. Fine. I don't know. There are lyrics there.
I have no feelings on that one way or the other. This is a very basic song. Which isn't to say it's not good. It's just, not inspired, shall we say.
No. And it's... Yeah, I don't... The concept of, it's been real, but it's been fake as hell is not, a unique concept.
No.
They didn't come up with this.
Which isn't to say it needs to be.
No.
But it's not grabbing me. Much.
But, I mean, I guess Love Sucks is not a unique concept.
Yes. Yeah, the bar for originality is not high.
But she tells it in a unique way. And this doesn't feel like it's being told in a unique way. What's the line from Unfabulous? This is such a weird reference that I'm about to reference. There was a Nickelodeon show many, many, many years ago with Emma Roberts called Unfabulous. And there's a line at one point where someone, a popular girl, is signing someone's yearbook, and she goes, "It's been real and it's been fun, but it hasn't been real fun." And I think about that all the time.
Well, the Green Day has a line in one of their songs, "It's been real and it's been fun, but was it all real fun?" Were they referencing Unfabulous?
I guess it would depend on when that song came out, because I'm gonna probably guess that song came out first.
No, I think regardless of what the answer is, according to the lore of this podcast, Green Day was referencing Unfabulous.
That's fine and all, but that's from from their Dookie album, which was 1994.
That is before I was born. I didn't realize that came out that long ago. That's so wild. It's crazy that they put an Unfabulous reference in it. That's so weird. Jot that down in your official podcast lore books that I know you all have.
Back to the pre-chorus. Now we're burning at both ends like candles in the wind, my eyelids collapsing, collateral damage. A candle in the wind, it obviously, Genius annotates to say that that's a song by Elton John, about somebody who burns brightly but their light is snuffed out too quickly, was originally written for Marilyn Monroe, then reworked for Princess Diana.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's the lore behind that one. One time someone did that at karaoke. when I was younger, and it was really
not a good karaoke
song. No, it was a dirge. No. It did not get the energy pumping. It was while I was on vacation, and actually this is kind of a funny story, so I'm going to tell it even though it's kind of apropos of nothing. My dad has an identical twin brother. My dad is like a very quiet guy. And when we were out at karaoke at this resort that we were staying in, my dad had gone to bed and his identical twin brother got up and did like a wild karaoke performance. And it was like the exact opposite of anything my dad would ever do. And then the next morning at breakfast, these people, like everyone kept coming up to my dad and being like, that was a great karaoke performance last night. And he kept saying, oh, that was my identical twin. And everyone thought he was kidding, of course.
Yeah.
It really was his identical twin.
It's so weird, the concept of twins, like, as an adult.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that there's that you have a dad who is now a grandfather.
Right.
Who has somebody who looks exactly like him.
Yeah. It's so weird.
Eventually, all old people look the same.
Right.
But, like...
Exactly.
Right now, it's still weird.
It is. It is. It's really funny. You reminded me of this meme that I saw that made me laugh so much. Now we're really off the rails. This has nothing to do with anything.
No, I love it. I don't think we have enough content with just the song, so fair. I need to fill.
So you guys get to enjoy the memes that I've seen online recently. It's just, it just says, why are you as a man blonde? It makes me laugh so much.
It's good. I think it was that was used in How I Met Your Mother. Barney and Robin are engaged and he meets Robin's dad and he can't understand that Barney is blonde.
Just baffling to me.
Yeah.
I sent it to all my blonde male friends.
Do you want to send it to Noah from the podcast?
Oh yeah. Nothing weird about that.
No, not at all. Or do you want to send it to the man who apparently is seemingly, well, maybe not anymore. It's been a few months, but at least a couple months ago was still into me, even though we haven't seen each other since my, like, I don't know, sophomore year of college.
Oh, yeah.
He's yeah, blonde. Send you can way. Send it to him. Great.
Again, apropos of absolutely nothing.
Oh, I was going to say, before we went on the twins tangent, let's take a moment to discuss what good karaoke songs are, because I have really firm opinions on this. I think I'm really good at karaoke in terms of, like, I have really good song selection, and I really take pride in my karaoke skills.
I love that. I hate karaoke, but I respect it as an art form.
What? You hate karaoke?
I hate participating in karaoke. There's something about it that I don't enjoy.
No, I'm so sorry. You're wrong. I'm so sorry.
No, again, I understand the appeal of it and, like, totally respect it. If you love karaoke pop off, you're probably just, like, wired more correctly than I am. Who knows? But...
You make me sad sometimes. So anyway... I believe a couple of things. One, I don't think enough people practice karaoke before they do karaoke.
Yeah.
There are karaoke tracks on YouTube. You can test if a song works for your voice or not.
Oh, it should not be a debut in that moment.
No, and it far too often is a debut. And because a lot of songs, frankly, like, they're not going to work in your voice. Like, it's going to be too low or it's too high or it, like... Some songs, you might really like the song, frankly, and this might be a hot take, but I saw someone at karaoke do Roxanne by The Police, and, like, not a good karaoke song.
No, I agree. I also don't like that song. Sorry to the
I don't
police.
Like it either. And I was saying this to my mom. She's like, no, it's such a good song. I didn't say I didn't like the song. I just said it was a bad karaoke song. She was like, but it's such a good song. And I was like, it does not matter. It's not good for karaoke.
Yes.
And that's... what people don't realize. Also, sometimes songs are too long.
Oh, yeah. Oh, please keep it short.
Unless you're doing it as the best, unless you are literally going to do Taylor Swift's All Too Well 10-minute version.
Or the entirety of American Pie.
How long is American Pie?
It's like 10 minutes.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I don't think that one, these are group dependent. That's the other thing.
Yes.
I don't think enough
people... Oh, yeah. Please don't do it at a bar. Do it in a karaoke room with only your friends.
Right. Group dependent songs. Right. These long songs only work if you have a private room, and All Too Well only works if, like, there's enough people in the room who connect to that song.
And who will maybe sing it with you.
And we'll sing it with you. Yeah, you can't solo a 10-minute song.
Please, don't.
I guess American Pie, same thing. I don't know who would be the group for that, but maybe they exist.
I mean, maybe if you were doing, you turned on the karaoke track for American Pie, but you did the Weird Al Yankovic version about Star Wars. There's a group for that.
Does that last the same amount of time as the actual
song? Oh, I'm pretty sure it does.
Oh, yikes. yeah, okay, there's a group for that. I'll believe that. Okay, so here's your, like, how you go into karaoke. So you've practiced at home, step one. You practiced at home.
For hours. You
warmed up. You warmed up your voice. And you practice. Okay, now you get there. The night is early. So let's say that you're... this really is more relevant if you're in, like, a private room situation, or you're at a bar where, like, there's very few people, you're there, like, right at the start of the karaoke night. You need to pick a song that you can nail and that people will get hype about, but yes, isn't necessarily something that everyone's going to want to join in on, because this is still, like, early, people still feel awkward part of the mm-hmm. night. So for this, I like, personally, Walk Away by Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah.
Or Ain't It Fun by Paramore, which is a little bit long. It's a little on the long side for a song. So I'll say that. So usually instead I do Still Into You, but sometimes bars don't have that one.
Mm. They need to get it together.
Yes. But I've also heard people do as their starting song, like, Teenage Dream by Katy Perry. That was fine.
Also, like, truly anything by Taylor Swift, I feel like, works. Everyone knows every Taylor Swift
song. Yeah. Yes, people feel okay with that. Okay, now you get farther into the night. You still need to keep it to songs that you can sing. So I'll say Skater Boy, a little bit of a difficult song, kind mm-hmm. of hard. If That's you get true. Enough people in on it, you can still make it work, but it's a little bit difficult vocally. These parts of the nights are where I like to do things like All Star by Smash Mouth.
Oh, classic.
Everyone joins in. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows it. Everyone thinks it is hype. It is a good time.
Yeah, I think you could do, like, a powerful 80s number at this point as well.
I Will Always Love You.
well, like an 80s bop, an upbeat 80s sure, bop sure, that sure. people know.
I one time did with two other people, we did I Want to Dance with Somebody, which is very difficult vocally, yeah. but like...
It has that energy.
Everyone was drunk enough at the time, and it had that energy, yeah.
Yeah.
So this is the time of the night where you want to do things that everybody feels good about. You want to go into the classics. You want to do, if you're a pop punk fan, you want to do all the pop punk classics.
Yeah.
And or one time I heard somebody do Fergalicious. You have to really know Fergalicious.
Somebody did a great Forget You by CeeLo Green.
Great. Last time yes. I went to karaoke. That could even be your starting song. I'd allow that as a starting song.
Yeah. I think you could also do Olivia Rodrigo, like get some Good For You in there. Just don't do Driver's License.
Do not do Driver's License. I heard one time in a bar somebody tried to do Deja Vu. Terrible. Don't do that.
Yeah, don't
Way too difficult vocally. Not hype enough.
Not
no one's going to, like, be with you on that. I also have a friend who tried to do Hamilton at a bar one time.
Oh, yeah, that feels...
Because she's like, oh, I sound good singing this. But here's the thing.
That's not what it's about.
Nobody sounds good doing karaoke.
Correct.
Beyonce would not sound good doing karaoke. I've said this on the podcast before. I will say it again. You do not sound good doing karaoke.
No.
So you just have to go into it with, like, the best hype version. This is where you want to do things like... like Blink-182 is really good. All the Small Things. I've heard that, like, oh, you know the classic. You have to do Mr. Brightside. Like, that will crush it. And you will feel good about yourself because everyone will be into your song choice.
Right.
People will not be into your song choice, no matter how good you sound, if you pick Hamilton. So sorry if she is listening to this right now. I just really want her to pick better karaoke songs.
Make better choices. I feel like the only instance when this is okay is if you're exclusively with Tisch students. And even then, it has to be Tisch students who aren't me, because I don't know any Hamilton songs.
Even then, like, you will be the delight of the night if you pick the songs that people actually like.
Yeah.
If you're with a bunch of musical theater dorks and then you went out that night being like, we're going to sing musical theater songs.
Yeah, that's
fine.
Right. Oh, sing some ABBA. Of course, sing some ABBA.
Yeah, that would be good. That would work. Unfortunately, Avril is just really hard for karaoke, so I don't really recommend her.
Yeah. But if you can pull off Complicated, then you should pull off Complicated.
Yeah, I would still put that in the later in the night category. That's fair. And that's, like, when people know and people can kind of, like, get hype with, even though it's a little bit of a less hype song in and of itself. But people get real into that chorus. It's just so impossible to sing, so.
And also, everyone loves singing Take Off All Your Preppy Clothes. There's something about that line. It just brings the room together.
It does. I, as a starting night song, one time heard Two Dudes Do, what's the song? So awake in the morning and a step outside. That song.
What's
that was a good
like,
starting
on?
Song. Yeah. What's going on? But I wouldn't do that later in the evening when people want to be more hype because it's not as exciting for everyone to join in on.
The order of operations, like PEMDAS, you have to know.
Yeah, there's a PEMDAS situation going on with karaoke. Anyway, let's go back to the song.
This was all totally relevant to the podcast, and actually, frankly, this has been an excellent learning experience for everyone listening. You're all welcome. You're getting free karaoke education.
You know what? I'll put in as the like Q&A question, what's your go-to karaoke song?
Yeah, I would really be interested.
This one's always a good one. Valerie by
It's Amy Winehouse. Let's get that
always going to crush karaoke.
There was a dude at my law school. I maybe have talked about this on the podcast before because it's so wild, but there was a dude at my law school who would go to karaoke like every single weekend at like multiple karaoke bars, and every single time he would perform Bleeding Love by Leona Lewis. The amount that I was tempted to go to karaoke when I knew he was going to be there and sing it first.
You shut up!
I know. Just like random bullying for no reason. Like, I've undercut your song that I know you do everywhere.
I recently at karaoke had someone, I did All Star by Smash Mouth with my friend's boyfriend and we crushed it. And then like five songs later, someone else did it. And we were all like, dude, we already did the song. Like you missed it.
Come on. Don't be ridiculous.
Terrible. But for the man from your law school, if I had the dedication to go to open mics that man had to go to karaoke, I'd be crushing it. I'd be famous.
You'd be honest now at this point.
Okay, back to the song. Chorus. I know it's better if we both say so long and thanks for the memories. I'd like to say that it's been real, but it's been fake as hell. Take two and call me in the morning. Three chances, should have seen the warning. For what it's worth, I wish you well, but yeah, it's been real, you're fake as hell. So we've got some genius annotations there. Take two and call me in the morning is a line said in the context of a doctor prescribing pills to someone. Take two pills and call me in the morning if you don't feel any better. Take two can also be a reference to acting. Each time you try to film a scene is a take.
I respect this genius annotation. I think this was well thought out. This person did a close reading of these lyrics. Both of those meanings could be true. Look at that.
Right, but you need to pick one. Like, those are two wildly different meanings, so which one is it?
It's a double meaning. It's poetry. It can mean what you want it to.
I don't think that that's true.
Well, let's call Alex Gaskarth and Avril Lavigne and ask them what the hell they meant.
I don't think Avril knows what it means.
I don't know that she's comprehending ever, and I think that's her own choice. I think she could comprehend, and she chooses not to.
And she chooses not to. She chooses to brain smooth, head empty.
Yes! Brain on refrigerator dark mode. Let's go.
Yeah. And then for three chances, should have seen the warning. It just says red flags.
Thank you for that. That's the example of a bad genius annotation. You have not made me think more about the song.
Well, at least that one makes more sense.
Yeah, but it didn't make me think.
Take two one just made me confused and my COVID brain can't handle it.
Well, maybe you should take two and call me in the morning.
I will. Well, you know what? Paxlovid is actually three pills, so I will be taking three pills tonight. And also, I guess, six pills in total tomorrow, and then I'll be done with Paxlovid and I'll be all cured.
Woo! We love being cured.
We do. Okay, so then Avril Lavigne comes in on the song. She's got her verse. I keep wanting to say voice. Her verse, which says, "You're superficial, you know how to fake it. So artificial, don't know how to take it. You got a problem, I don't want to solve it. Now it's official, I don't even miss ya." What?
I'm sure she made that rhyme somehow. In her typical Avril way.
It and ya do not rhyme.
No, I'm going to validate that. They don't.
The Genius annotation says, the rhythm in some of the rhyme scheme is to the tune of Motivation by Sum 41. I actually don't think I know that song.
I don't know that song. That's very interesting. Maybe I'll have to give that a listen.
I can't corroborate.
Yeah.
Pre-chorus, both All Time Low and Avril sing, you say it's really nothing personal, and everyone you love is just expendable. Can't make a friend without the end. You know it's collateral damage.
Nothing Personal is the name of a very early All Time Low album.
Yes, it says it was the third album from 2008.
Nice. Well, one of them was an EP, so.
Sure.
I don't know. I think we're all right.
I think we all sing.
I think we all sing. Oh, I love that energy.
And then we've got the chorus, both of them sing, I know it's better if we both say so long and thanks for the memories. I'd like to say that it's been real, but it's been fake as hell. Take two and call me in the morning. Three chances, should have seen the warning. For what it's worth, I wish you well, yet it's been real, you're fake as hell. So I just want to point out the contradiction here. So first he says, I'd like to say it's been real, but it's been fake as hell. So therefore it has not been real. But then later he says, it's been real. You're fake as hell. So we've got some contradiction there.
What's the truth?
Yeah, has it been real or fucking not?
I'm so mad at them right now. I want to know what the answer is.
I also want to know.
I don't have a whole lot to say about this song, in all honesty. I'm glad we talked about karaoke for so long, because...
Well, let's finish out the lyrics, which are all things we've already read, but we're just going to keep reading them over and over
awesome.
Again.
Awesome. Let's go.
Just to fill time. The bridge... this is, they both sing at various points, and I'll just not tell us when those are because I don't feel like it. You say it's really nothing personal. Everyone you love is just expendable. You say it's really nothing personal. Can't make a friend without the end, you know? Personal, personal, and you know. I know this is, I know it sounds good in the song, but wow, is it wild to read.
Personal, personal.
You say it's really nothing personal. I know it's better if we both say everyone you love is just expendable. So long and thanks for the memories. Can't make a friend without the end. You know, I'd like to say that it's been real. And you know, but it's been fake as hell.
And you know. I will say something about when they both start singing together. I do really like, because Avril has such a high belt.
Yeah.
She can hit these really high notes, like so loud and powerful.
Yes.
And I love when she's singing and she, like, goes an octave up from someone. And it really shows off her range.
Frankly, like, why was she on this song? What was the
It's a great question. It feels like it was not necessary. But, that being said, she is. And so we're legally required to talk about it.
That's true. That's how that works. And then there's the chorus. I'm actually not going to read that. And then the outro is just fake as hell. You're so fake as hell. For what it's worth, I wish you well. Yeah, it's been real. You're fake as hell.
The thing about also a collaboration like this is that it's like, it's never really about whether, well, I don't know, because I wasn't in the room. But it's like less obviously about whether they like sound great together or whether they just like have a passion for collaborating. And more about the fact that like both of them are putting out new music right around now. They're getting some promo from each other, you know, it's just like cross promotion.
Yeah.
But it's funny when very recognizable singers do this, because like I think I've talked about before how like Rob Thomas is just Rob Thomas. You're never gonna not know that it's Rob Thomas when you're listening to a Rob Thomas song.
Sure.
The Rob Thomasness of it is like undeniable. That is completely how Alex Gaskarth is. It's completely how Avril Lavigne is. You're never going to listen to one of them and be like, who is this? Like their voices, you just know their voices. And there are some singers that I feel like have voices that are harder to place, where you're like, well, this could kind of be a lot of people in this genre. And I think it works better when those people collaborate, because there's like a blend that happens that's more pleasant. And this isn't true, like, for example, in like the hip hop scene and that kind of thing, because you have features that are really different.
Mm-hmm.
Like you want someone to come in and do something that's like not related. But with this, there's something weird about totally recognizing both vocalists and being like, huh, both of them are here. Okay.
Yeah. Well, yes, they really do the same thing versus in like hip hop or rap, where there's somebody who comes on like specifically to sing or like to do something different. But there's also like collaborations for example, Pink and Nate Roos from Fun did that song a million years ago called Just Give Me a Reason. But that was really very specifically like a conversation. It was a duet.
Yes.
Where those people in the song were having a conversation.
Yeah.
What is this? You could have sung this by yourself.
It's true. It's true. I think the feature's fun, but I don't think the song is like enough to write home about that I particularly care.
I just don't know why. I just don't know why. We can read down below on Genius, though, one of the artists said about the song. Alex said, Fake as Hell is a song about recognizing what's real and saying goodbye to what's not. Sorry, I'm gonna clear my throat and not cut that out. Okay. It's about cutting ties with people and things that don't lift you up and help you progress. It's a wave goodbye to whatever's in the rearview mirror and a new perspective on the road ahead. Collaborating on this one with Avril is a dream realized, and getting to watch her do what she does best in the studio was crazy inspiring. I love when artists, and Avril used to do this, so like when she was 18 and like really overanalyzing Skater Boy and Complicated and stuff. I love when artists take such a self-explanatory song and give it like this whole meaning of like, oh, it's when you're like putting everything behind you and you're on the open road and you're going to a new place and you're gonna start fresh and you're gonna take on a new identity because you're on the run from the cops.
Like, it's not in the text. It's not in the text, Alex. Where is it? Show me all those things. Maybe if you wanted it to be about that, you should have written it that way. I think it's about breaking up with a fake person. And that's it.
Yeah.
I also think because they do multiple references to songs.
Yeah.
In this song, it would have been so fun if they had gone harder with that. Because there are like 3 or 4.
Or if those people, like, maybe just do one. And then maybe instead of Avril Lavigne, Fall Out Boy is the one who's featured on the song.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that make more sense and be more fun?
Or it would be really funny to do a song with Avril and just have, like, every other line be a reference to an Avril song. Can you imagine how powerful that would be? Now that we could get a whole episode out of.
Yeah. And I want to point out that Avril does, in fact, have writing credit on the song.
Good for her.
I just think that that's important. Because, it is important. Remember that time somebody tried to claim that she doesn't write her own songs?
Yeah. I'm still mad at that person.
LOL.
Keeps me up at night, man.
What does she know that we don't, though? You know?
Yeah. Good point.
Does Avril just, like, add one word in and then, like, get credit for it?
That could totally be true.
Yeah.
Or she could just, like, have in her contract, I would like to get writing credit, please.
LOL. Put that in all my contracts.
Yeah. Give me writing credit. Thanks.
Yeah. So, do we want to talk more about how I got COVID?
Sure.
There's no story there. I don't actually know how I got it, but I'm sad about it because, fun fact, everybody, this is the first time I'm ever getting COVID. It's October 2023. I guess I got it at the very end of September 2023. So I lasted 3.5 years of no COVID.
Which is really impressive.
Yeah. It was the one cool thing about me.
I have had one confirmed case of COVID and probably 2 cases of COVID in total. One unconfirmed.
Didn't you test negative that second time, though?
Well, so I've tested for COVID 3 times. Well, no, I've tested for COVID 2 times. Tested positive 1 time, negative 1 time. The very first time that I think I had it was in March of 2020 when I was in London. And I got very sick and I lost my taste and smell. So what else could it have been? But I can't say that I had it because I couldn't get tested because it was before tests were available.
Oh, no, you had it. You can say that you had it. You lost your taste and smell. That's like the symptom.
What else does that?
Right. No, you had it. Okay, so you've had it 2 times.
Yep.
I'm on Paxlovid, which you're only supposed to be able to get if you have a comorbidity, but I have a heart condition. And fun fact, I hope the doctor is not listening to this, but my cardiologist said that my heart condition was actually not a risk factor for COVID. But I just told the urgent care doctor, I have a heart condition. He goes, oh, okay, then I'm going to give you Paxlovid. And I was like, yeah, you are.
Fair enough.
But I do think it helped clear my symptoms faster, and I'm hoping it prevents... Well, I don't really think I was at risk of long COVID, but I am hoping I'm, like, really not at risk of long COVID now.
Yeah.
Because that sounds terrible, and I don't want it.
It does.
So sorry if anybody has it. Keep it to yourself.
Wow! Okay, maybe this is the episode that gets us canceled, but not for the reasons I thought it was.
Not for low reason.
Just because Sabra has chosen to bully the long COVID community. They've had it too good for too long, says Sabra.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the official stance of the What More Can I Say is Game Boy Fancast podcast.
Oh my god, this is a mess.
If you have long COVID, something that's not contagious, keep it to yourself.
I don't endorse this message against her.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm hoping that there are cures for long COVID soon.
But also, as we have really made clear on this podcast, you can't come into this podcast taking us seriously, please. That would be so bad for us. Except when we're saying something serious, in which case we are the only reliable source.
Yes. Sure. Honestly, my brain kind of zoned out because COVID brain, but
that's fair.
I'm gonna agree with whatever you just said, even if it was like, oh, we should murder all puppies.
Right. I mean, it's not the wildest thing we've said to date.
No, it is not. Anyway, if you do have long COVID, I'm really sorry. I hope that they find a cure, and I'm actively trying to avoid having what you have because it looks so terrible, and I would like to not experience that.
Oh, the other day, my law school called me to wish me a happy birthday, and that's it. They didn't ask for money or anything. They just said happy birthday. Okay, bye.
Are you saying the other day as in weeks after your birthday?
Well, yes, a month ago.
Okay. That's relevant because what the podcast doesn't know just happened is I had to pause to answer a call because someone called me twice from a 212 number, which is the place where I live. And so I thought that might be important. So I pick it up, and then it was just an NYU student asking me for money. Well, he did. He was just saying he was an NYU student, but I know that means he was asking for money. And so sorry, NYU. I don't have any of that right now because I have to pay off the loans that I took out to go to your school.
Yeah. I mean, that's always the wild thing. Like, don't ask for more money right now. Come on.
Yeah. Just ask Alec Baldwin. He's not doing fine. Just ask Gina Rodriguez. Yeah. She's probably fine.
Is this a 3-for-3 cancelable offense on this episode?
You said it in the beginning. You said we were going to get canceled for this episode. And when we couldn't get canceled for doing an all-time low song, I had to think on my feet.
Yeah, I respect that. Honestly, being canceled would be so good for our brand.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, because people would know about our podcast if we were canceled.
That's true. And I guess canceling's not actually a thing. No. If we're being really honest with ourselves.
We would get extremely popular. If we got canceled now, we would get popular. That's the sad reality of it.
Or you, take a couple years max break, and then you come back like nothing happened.
Yes.
So, alrighty, guys. Again, there's no point in me saying this, because by the time this comes out, we won't have recorded all the episodes, because May will have a baby, and she'll have forgotten I exist. But I was gonna say, if you have suggestions for an episode, you can leave us a voice memo, or you can DM me on Instagram. It's at Kojisatz, KOJISATZ. A lot of you already know that, because you already follow me and have sent me DMs, and you're my favorites.
Hell yeah. Yeah, if you interact with us in some way, you're automatically better than the rest of the podcast listeners, so everybody else needs to step it up.
Oh, I have I guess she was not the first person to interact with us, because the first person to interact with us was somebody who sent us the very first voice memo, and we love her.
Oh, that was so exciting, yeah.
That was Pei. We love you, Pei. But there's a girl that follows me on Instagram, and she doesn't know this, but she is truly my favorite because she's been following me for so long, and I had no fucking clue why this girl was following me. And then one day she sent us a DM to say that this is her favorite podcast, and then she unsent the DM, which was weird, but I'd already screenshotted
it. We forgive
her. So we forgive you. But she's my favorite. She likes all of my Instagram posts, so.
Hell yeah, you rule.
She's not the only fan that likes all my Instagram posts. She's just the one that's been doing it the longest.
Yeah, and there's a lot to be said for that.
Yeah.
How did you find this podcast? What the heck?
Yeah, literally. So if you want to be my favorite podcast listener, you can tell us why you listened to this podcast. Tell us how you found us. Awesome. What episode did you start on? Give us compliments. Tell me I'm pretty. That's it.
Yeah. Tell me you assume I'm pretty.
If you have suggestions for an episode, it might be too late. The podcast might be dead by then, but maybe it won't be. Maybe this goes on forever. Maybe this is the kind of podcast that we just do for like 20 years.
Yeah, it might be eternal. Maybe my kid will be a co-host one day.
Oh my God, we pass the podcast on to your child.
Oh, that'd be beautiful.
Your child, what if your kid doesn't like Avril Lavigne?
Disowned. Easy.
I love coming up with horror stories of things that might go wrong with your child.
That's about the worst one that could happen.
Yeah, that one would be pretty bad. What if your kid, what if they start like, I assume Andrew Tate will be dead by then, but what if they like find old Andrew Tate videos and are like, yeah, this is the way?
Well, I mean, there would have been a real lapse in parenting at some point along the way. I couldn't blame the kid for that.
That's like on Just Between Us, they play the game, Are You a Terrible Parent? Your kid discovers Andrew Tate and starts quoting him around the house. Is this your fault?
Yeah, I think that if you fall into the rhetoric, then there can't have been a good foundation in the first place, you know what I mean? That being said, I think a lot of people grow out of it. I think a lot of people hit, like, this won't be my kid, knock on wood, but a lot of people do go through a phase that is, like, truly horrendous, and then they grow out of it and realize the error of their ways, so I hope that happens with more people.
Yes, and your kid. Just kidding. We hope it doesn't exist in your kid in the first place. What if your kid is, like, just like me, by which I mean really mean?
It wouldn't surprise me.
What if I, like, have an influence on your kid and I just make them a terrible person?
As long as they're funny, I don't
constantly.
Care. As long as they're funny, it's fine. That's the line. If they're not funny and mean, that's just embarrassing. Come on.
Yeah, well, kids struggle with humor. They have to learn it. So sometimes you have to start with just being
mean. Get funny fast. Okay. The thing about, in my house, you had to get funny really fast, because we're funny and mean. So you have to get funny quickly enough to be able to dish it out, you know?
It's like how we were talking on a previous episode about how you started talking really early because you needed people to, like, do things for you. And so you didn't learn to walk, but then I knew a kid who learned to walk really young. She had two older siblings that she needed to be able to, like, chase after. Your kid, it's none of those. Your kid just has to get funny as a survival mechanism.
Yep. Yeah.
So, are you going to tell me the name yet?
No, because I don't know it.
Well, because you don't know the gender, but I assume you have two names picked out.
No, we have like six, so it's going to be a game day decision. Got to meet the kid. I don't know anything about this person.
You want to tell me the six names? I fear that you're going to have a baby and not tell me for like a month.
No, I'll tell you. I'll tell you immediately. Don't worry.
I feel like you're going to forget, though.
This is not... Oh, no. I'll tell you quickly. I just won't send you a photo of the baby. You don't
want
to see
No, I don't
that.
Want a photo of the baby. That's gross.
I know exactly how much information all of my friends want. Some of them want to see every sonogram. Some of them don't want to know. You know? The balance.
I just can't, no offense to the people who want to see every sonogram, I feel like they're lying. I feel like they're lying to themselves. They don't want to see that. They don't care.
Oh, I'm so interested.
Why? Well, interested in your
it's
own
interesting.
Sonograms?
No, like interested in other people's.
Why? They all look the same.
Can't explain it. It's just interesting.
I could just send you a picture of a sonogram from Google Images. Like, you wouldn't know.
See, now that I have sonograms of my own kid, I think they all look totally different.
No. So sorry, no.
But it's down to, like, quality of... Like, maybe you have a terrible ultrasound tech, and your kid looks like a blob.
I think they all look like blobs.
There's varying degrees.
Varying degrees of blobbiness. Exactly. Anyway... Alrighty, guys. This has been a COVID-filled, cancelable episode of What More Can I Say? A Skater Boy Fancast.
Ooh, can I make it any more obvious?